I would say my goal, someone asked me like, what's your goal for the, you know, the gym? I said, I want to get the 50 people in the company that don't work out, that have never worked out, into the gym. How do we do that? I can get anyone that wants to work out in the gym, and I can, yeah, that's easy. That's not hard. And I can help, I can get people fitter, stronger, blah, blah, blah. That's fun. It's good. But I want to get the person that is sedentary and they're embarrassed, they're nervous, they're intimidated, whatever it is, that they have more negative self-talk than you could ever fathom. How do we get that person in the gym and they real, and to realize that we're all on the same playing field here, and you step foot in the gym, you're fighting the same fight we are.
This is episode number 77 with Austin Maliolo. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWOD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WOD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JULIEFOUCHER. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Hey there, welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I got to sit down with Austin Maliolo, who is an individual who is truly leading from the front in more facets of CrossFit than almost anyone else I've met thus far. Austin got his start in the fitness industry as a personal trainer, and he earned his bachelor's degree in exercise science. He then found CrossFit in 2009, and it wasn't long after that that he became a CrossFit coach, and then started working on the CrossFit HQ seminar staff, where he's now a Flowmaster and works nearly every weekend. He also is now the head coach at Reebok CrossFit One and has played a key role in the development of the employee health program at Reebok's headquarters. Austin is also an accomplished CrossFit Games athlete, a three-time winner of the Northeast Regional from 2011 to 2013, as well as a six-time CrossFit Games competitor, including individual finishes in the top 10 in 2010 and 2012, and a fifth-place finish as a member of Team Reebok CrossFit One in 2017. In his spare time, Austin owns and runs coaching development at Reebok CrossFit One Nation, and he also hosts an online training program called The Ham Plan. We sat down recently at the Reebok Athlete Summit, and we were able to catch up on how CrossFit has shaped the corporate culture of Reebok over the past several years, as well as how Austin's experiences as a youth taught him the importance of personal responsibility and surrounding himself with the right kind of people. Also, we talked about why Austin is just so driven to keep embracing the daily grind and biting off more than most people could even imagine chewing. It was a great conversation, and I think you'll really enjoy what Austin had to say. A few quick reminders before we get started. First, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. If you're looking to dial in your nutrition this January, there's also still time to join me in the free Healthy Self Reset program at healthyselfreset.com. I've teamed up with my good friend and functional dietitian nutritionist, Bridget Tickemeyer, as well as my husband and fellow MD, Danny, to bring you 28 days of recipes, meal plans, shopping lists, and workouts you can do anywhere with no equipment needed. We've also got an amazing new online dashboard and a supportive community that will be active for 3 more weeks. So you don't want to miss out. Head to healthyselfreset.com right now to sign up through February 12th. Finally, please remember that although I'm now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, here we go. Let's get started with episode number 77 of Pursuing Health featuring Austin Maliolo. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm super excited. I'm here with Austin Maliolo, and this is very long overdue.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We have a lot to talk about. But right now, we're here at the Reebok Athlete Summit, fifth year. And I want to talk a bit about your experience with Reebok, because you've played a huge role in the sort of the relationship between Reebok and CrossFit.
Yeah.
And how did you find yourself in that role? Like, how did you get started with Reebok?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's, it's dating back to now... 2010 mm-hmm. when the partnership signed, I think in 2009, and I wasn't in the fold quite yet, but that was, and then went to the games in 2010. And then that's when Reebok was signing athletes, the original, sort of roster. And they asked me to come out to the headquarters in Canton, and they said, you know, hey, come out. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever in the world, like getting sponsored to work out, or even the thought of it, like, you know. Went out and saw the beautiful campus, and, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to sign you. I was like, this is amazing.
This is great.
Like, you want to give me, you know, some free clothes, and I'll work out and be a part of a brand. And they, at that time, they had like a little gym. It was essentially like, it wasn't little. It was like, you know, 5,000 square feet, but they just had some equipment in the corner of the room, and they had some coaches from down the road that were just taking some people through CrossFit workouts. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, you know, hey, if you ever need, you know, help coaching, let me know. I was in Albany at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, just kind of threw you, you know, I was like, oh, let me know. Yeah. I didn't really think anything of it. But then, you know, sure enough, you know, they needed some help from a coaching perspective, and they asked me to come out. Mm-hmm. And that was like, that was a big move, because, you know, I had a, you know, I was coaching at Albany CrossFit, and it was like, you know, it was a coaching gig, you know, getting paid to coach in 2010 was legit, you know, like it was pretty awesome. Into 2011, and then, so I think February 2011 is when I moved to Boston to be a coach, and that was how I got into the the fold from the Reebok perspective.
And at that time, were you just, your role is just coaching, or were you at that point, how did you like transition into what you're doing now?
Yeah. So I just started out as just as a coach.
Okay.
You know, and just coaching the classes and, mm-hmm. you know, essentially onboarding the company,
okay.
you know, from a to CrossFit.
This is CrossFit.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
and at that time, were you teaching seminars too for CrossFit HQ?
Yeah. So okay. I got on seminar staff in October of 2010. So, and I think I worked my first gig in early 2011. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was working for seminar staff, which I was, you know, brand new, and then, coaching,
okay.
At Reebok CrossFit One. And so that was, you know, that at the time, it's funny as you look back, we're like, that was like, it was just mind blowing that that's what I'm doing, you know,
yeah.
and I'm actually coaching people and it's fun. It's what I wanted to do. And it's happening and working out and training. Cause mm-hmm. you know, you go to the game once, you want to go again. Right. So, and that's kind of what we were training for. And,
right.
And then, you know, and then the evolution from, you know, essentially 2010 to 2018 with where we are now is, you know, a lot has happened. A lot has changed. Mm-hmm. My role has changed a little bit at Reebok. It's increased from the scope. I'm now in charge of the whole fitness facility. So
wow.
not only just the CrossFit gym, but the entire, you know, Reebok Health and Fitness Center, from the CrossFit gym to the traditional gym to all the other health and wellness offerings that we, you know, we give to the employees mm-hmm. on site. We moved campuses.
Yeah, that's recent.
And, yeah, which is, you know, we've been there really in full since January.
Okay.
You know, we the gym has been there since October, but it was a phased move. So
okay.
we now have all the employees on campus, and I had the honor to be a part of the, you know, essentially created the gym.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
so the whole gym has moved over there. So,
yeah.
So what has that process been like? Or,
yeah,
it's obviously a different, like at Reebok or the old campus, you had so much space and
yeah.
so much outdoor space and all kinds of.
Yeah. It's, you know, I describe Canton as like a college campus,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the previous Reebok headquarters, and it was a beautiful campus, and we had a track, we had all that sort of stuff. And you know, in moving to the Seaport, which is where we are now in
mm-hmm.
Boston, it's very different. Oftentimes people are like, why did you move?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the answer is really simple. It's that, you know, Canton was, it's an island.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, if you ever, you know, you've been out there, and if anyone's ever been out there, it's not easy to get to. I mean, you got to fly to Boston
mm-hmm.
and do all this sort of stuff. And for a big brand with how many visitors we have, I mean, it's nice to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I travel around the world and go to gyms all the time, and usually it's the gyms closest to the airport.
Right.
So it makes, you know, travel a little easier. And, you know, Boston is a legit city. I mean, it's a hub.
Yeah.
It's, I think that's a huge difference, is you have a sprawling campus to a smaller campus.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I mean, we still have a 30,000 square foot facility.
Wow.
You know, it's like we were spoiled in Canton, you
mm-hmm.
know, where, you know, we had 30 foot high ceilings. We had a massive space. You know, we had essentially two gym spaces.
Uh-huh.
I think my favorite aspect of the new gym is that it's one facility. So the CrossFit gym and the traditional gym and our studios and the
okay.
locker rooms, everything's one. It's two floors, but
mm-hmm.
it's one gym. And that's really important from a corporate culture perspective. And certainly from a CrossFit perspective, where oftentimes people look at CrossFit as, you know, oh, that's the CrossFitters,
right.
you know, those CrossFit crazies.
Too intimidating, too intense.
Right. Whereas now, you know, it's, you know, everyone that walks by the front desk, you know, we see.
Yeah.
So we get to see a lot of new people, which is nice.
That's
where,
awesome.
You know, and sometimes we're like, hey, well, you know, jump into a class if you want. So we
mm-hmm.
can, you know, like people sometimes like, yeah, sure, I'm in, and
mm-hmm.
get to meet new people that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What has it done? What has CrossFit done for Reebok? Like, I mean, in general, but also just for the employees, because I know that's such a huge, I mean, I don't know what proportion, but a big proportion of employees now do CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think, you know, right now we have, I think, 650 people, you know, in our building in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We have almost 550 of them are members of the gym.
Okay.
Now, of that, I think we have like, you know, like 250 to 300 people that CrossFit regularly.
Wow.
And I think the big, if you were to say, hey, what's the significance of that? How has CrossFit changed the culture of Reebok
mm-hmm.
and its community?
Mm.
You know, it's traditional gyms don't have community. I mean, that's the difference between CrossFit and
mm-hmm.
anything else, where, I mean, you can go up, you know, you can put your hat on, put your headphones on, and get a great workout, and you can kick your own butt and awesome.
Yep.
We've all been there. But, you know, when you take the noon class and you have the president of the brand next to interns, co-ops, temps, people mm-hmm. that have, you know, from, you know, legal to marketing to, you know, brand comms, and they're chest bumping and high-fiving, the transmission of culture is so profound and it humanizes everybody mm-hmm. and they get to meet one another. And now your growth within the company, those opportunities increase because you get to know people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the coolest thing. And it works. We get that. We mm-hmm. know it. If you do CrossFit, it works and it makes people healthy. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's funny how that's not as big of a deal mm-hmm. as the community aspect, you know? And I think that's at a culture perspective and at a corporation, it's the most important. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I don't think that there's another global brand of Reebok size or bigger that does more for their employees from a health perspective. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of research on it mm-hmm. and because that's, you know, I'm in the corporate wellness, yeah. you know, sector now, yeah. if that's even such a thing. And, and I think, you know, here's my favorite aspect of the new gym. And it also highlights how important health and fitness is to Reebok. Mm-hmm. And how it is transmitted to the employees is that if you're an employee benefit is you pay $75 a month for the gym, but every time you check in, mm-hmm. you get a credit, $7.50.
Oh, wow.
So if you check in 10 times in a month, you get a free gym membership.
That's amazing.
So essentially, we're incentivizing you to work out, mm-hmm. saying, hey, it's important yeah. us for you to do this. We're going to subsidize your membership. Now, $75 is... if you ever have a gym membership,
that's great.
That's the worst case scenario.
Wow. And that's so much better than a free membership because you're encouraging people to go at least 10 times a month.
Exactly. You know, and it's, and then not only that, it's not, you know, like, you know, you go to these huge corporations, they have great facilities. Mm-hmm. We have a full-time staff. We have 8 full-time staff on mm-hmm. from that are there all day. We have, you know, we have 11 to 12 CrossFit classes a day. We have yoga studio, a fitness studio, a spin studio. We have, you know, boxing ring. We have, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, across a day, we have 20 to 30 classes.
Wow.
And it's a massive staff that we have and, you know, some of the best coaches in the world we have on our team, which is pretty amazing. And that's why people come. I mean, and even now, like in our new setup, we'll have coaches that will roam around in the open gym and help people. Coach people. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a believer, I think the open gym model is criminal, in my opinion. The fact that we can just let people work out and give them no guidance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, it seems right. unsafe, right? Like right. people like CrossFit's dangerous. The argument doesn't make any sense to me. At least, even if the coach is awful, at least they're trying
right.
to
There's
help
some
people.
Small improvement.
Whereas when you go into a traditional gym, you know,
people can be doing anything.
Anything,
yeah.
you know, and they're making things up. I've never seen that movement before, right? You know, so, you know, so we're up there and we're engaging with people and it's pretty cool. And they're like receptive. Like, who would have thought people like help?
Right.
Like, yeah, Shocking. I'd love some help. Great. You know, awesome.
Please, yeah.
And I think that's the greatest, I think that's one of the things where, and a big push for me this year is to tell that story. Mm-hmm. Working with our communications team internally of, you know, how do we tell the world that I don't know of any other brand that does that mm-hmm. and has much of an opportunity for their employees to work out, essentially zero barrier to entry mm-hmm. from an hours perspective, classes offered. You know, we just started a beginner's fitness class where okay. it's like, essentially you've never stepped in the gym. It's been 30 years. Mm-hmm. How do you start? I mean, that's not petrifying for people.
Right.
Think about if you walked into a CrossFit gym at one of our classes with 30 people, half of them with their shirts off doing mm-hmm. rope climbs. What are you going to say?
Not for me. Too intimidating.
That's yeah. right. So we have a beginner's fitness class where we just say, hey, like, this is how you walk into the gym. Mm-hmm. This is what you do to start. Get mm-hmm. a hop on the treadmill and move for a little bit to warm up. Mm-hmm. Here's a stretch. You know, here's how you pick up a kettlebell off the mm-hmm. ground, a deadlift, you know, and.
But using those same principles that, you know, it's just constantly varied
right.
functional movements. It's scaled for the beginner, but
that's
without
right.
maybe that intimidation factor.
And it's also how, because it's more psychological than physical.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean. I would say my goal, someone asked me like, what's your goal for the, you know, the gym? I said, I want to get the 50 people in the company that don't work out, that have never worked out mm-hmm. into the gym. How do we do that?
Yeah.
I can get anyone that wants to work out in the gym and I can, yeah, that's easy. That's not hard. Mm-hmm. and I can help, I can get people fitter, stronger, blah, blah, blah. That's fun. It's good.
Yeah.
But I want to get the person that is sedentary.
Yeah.
And they're embarrassed. They're nervous. They're intimidated. Whatever it is that mm-hmm. they have more negative self-talk than you could ever fathom. Mm-hmm. How do we get that person in the gym and they real and to realize that we're all on the same playing field here. Mm-hmm. And you step foot in the gym, you're fighting the same fight we are.
Right.
And that's going to be one of our big pushes.
I love that. And I can relate to that so much because now being in residency, seeing patients, you see this is like a cross-section of the world. You know, we are so surrounded in our affiliates of people who are motivated, who want to work out, who want to be healthy. But if you look at the general population, there's so many people who have that negative self-talk, feel like they're always failing, mm-hmm. you know, are so afraid to even start. And it's like, how do you talk to those people? How do you, you know, show them or put them in the right environment so that they can gain some confidence and right. feel like they're capable of doing it?
Yeah. And I think it's funny because certainly in the world of CrossFit, what we consider out of shape mm-hmm. is
really fit.
Really fit. You know, it's like, and you know, I was talking about this, you know, someone's like, oh, I haven't worked out in, you know, 2 months. I'm like, yeah, but you're still fitter than most all Americans.
Yeah.
You really are. I mean, that's not a good thing, but it is what it is. And, you know, how do we get those people into the gym that are, you know, that can't, you know, it's like the average female in the United States of America can't do one push-up.
It's crazy. Yeah.
The average male can't do more than 14 sit-ups in 1 minute.
Wow.
You know, like you hear those numbers and that's staggering, right?
Oh, and it's not surprising to see, like, once these people age into their 70s, 80s, why are they falling and breaking a hip? Why are they right. needing help in the nursing home?
And that's where I look at it's a, and this is what, where in my opinion, corporate responsibility for preventative health care mm-hmm. is the future. And as much as we talk about is corporate responsibility and philanthropy and social purpose, and I get that, but I think that we are missing as a society and a culture of preventative health care. Mm-hmm. Before we worry about anything else, we need to worry about ourselves. And what I mean by that is the health of our people, mm-hmm. because nothing else matters if we're dying.
Right.
And health, you know, healthcare costs is going up, and what is driving up the cost of healthcare is preventable diseases, mm-hmm. chronic diseases that are preventable, essentially from, you know, poor diet and poor and lack of exercise. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it's a, you know, these corporations at the top have a responsibility, and I truly believe that, you know, what Reebok is doing is this, it's the example because of how many people are doing it. Mm-hmm. If we get 95 to 100% of the employee base working out mm-hmm. consistently.
That's unheard of. Yeah.
And that's what every company needs to strive for mm-hmm. as opposed to giving, you know, like free pizza Wednesdays.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's that culture and it's the environment that people are in. If you're in an environment where it's, you know, it gains momentum with 75% of your coworkers are working out, you're more likely to work out. If there's not, you know, cookies and like soda all around your office, then you're not going to drink it. But
yeah, that's another one where it's like, what I think there's one hospital that just broke the headlines that they got rid of all soda within mm-hmm. the hospital. And you know, I don't know where it was, but I mean, that's recent.
Yeah. I think they just recently, Australia just recently made a big push for getting all sugar and soda out of their hospitals and making the culture more health conscious. Where I work at the Cleveland Clinic years ago, the CEO got rid of all soda. We sell diet soda, but mm-hmm. he got rid of all sugar sweetened beverages, and people were in uproar about it, and people still bring in their own soda, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, when we got rid of soda in Canton and from all that stuff. And it was funny because people like lost their mind. We never said they couldn't bring it on their own, you know? And I think it's funny because one, people just don't like being told what to do. More importantly, what not to do.
Right.
You know, cause like, well, it's my body. Like, you know, but my issue with that is, you know, because when people complain about that, but I can do whatever I want, mm-hmm. but who pays for it?
Right.
You know, like, and I take that, like, it's like, who is paying for the obesity, the mm-hmm. diabetes, you know, all of these things that are happening, mm-hmm. you know, it's where, and I just look around at my friends, you know, our friends, we don't go to the doctor, mm-hmm. you know, like, for any of that. We go to the, you know, it's like we do normal things, but it's like my dad's 63 years old and, you know, he can do handstand push-ups, walk on his hands, do pull-ups, clean, all that good stuff. It's, I mean, I look at him and he's, you know, doesn't even, I forget that he's even, like people like 60, I'm like, yeah, he looks like he's 40, you know, I forget, he's just, you know, your dad's your dad, you know, it's an age, it's sure. just, a, but like, it just, it's, there is a responsibility piece where, yeah, you can do whatever you want to your body, but there is a repercussion to that. It's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want in your house, but, you know, if you leave, you know, a match next to your, you know, your stove and your house lights on fire and it burns someone else's house down next to you, that's a problem. And that's your problem that you now made everyone else's. So it's not just, hey, let me do what I want in my own house, my own body. It's dramatically affecting your neighbors.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's a big culture change. I think one of the other unique things, and it's like you said, it's not just for Reebok, obviously, is very, it's a fitness brand, but the same things apply at any other company, no matter what their business is. I think that the impact that it has on the employees, their health, and then the culture, like you were talking about, I think is potentially huge. But I think one of the unique things, and we were talking about this today at the summit, is how much Reebok has ingrained CrossFit into their culture, which, you know, back then, you know, Reebok was the first kind of company to enter into CrossFit and have this partnership. And now there's so many more companies coming in and entering this space, but how important that culture is and how much of an impact that makes on what Reebok does in the clothes they design, in the shoes they design, everything else.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think, and we were chatting about it, like you said earlier today, and it's a story that I think some people are aware of, but I think it's easy to take for granted that, you know, they do CrossFit, you know, like, and a good example is when I first got to campus, I was in every meeting about apparel and footwear because they didn't know. They're like, what do you need? You know, and you're like, what, you know, what does it feel like when you do this and that? And we would have the conversations. It was great. But then, you know, as years went on, I would be in less and less of those meetings because everyone that it was in those meetings have been doing CrossFit for now 1, 2, 3 years.
Oh, they know.
And so they know. And you know, CrossFit's the same. It's universally applicable and scalable for everyone. So a rope climb's a rope climb. Doesn't matter how fast you do them. You know, a power clean's a power clean. You know, a snatch is a snatch and running is running.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's not many brands can say that and even have the ability to say it.
Sure. Or for any other sports, like, most people are not playing professional football or professional basketball. Like, it's different. But the fact that CrossFit, like, anyone can do CrossFit and you immediately know what it's like.
Right.
It's just a factor of how you're scaling the workout or the, you know, how you're doing it.
Right. And I think that's something that I think the world, the consumer really should take into consideration of, like, these people, you know, it's as much as, you know, it's authentic. You know, as much as that word kind of is kind of weird, is like when you're saying it's usually inauthentic, but it's true. I mean, they do it, you know, like they're doing what they say and what they're selling, what they create. And that's something that, like you said, not every brand can do for the products they make. And the fact that they take it seriously is that they live that brand, you know, and it's not, it's obviously like people are like, of course they want to make money. Like when people are like, oh, they're just out to make money. Well, like, it's a business. If you ever had a business, you, it's part of the deal. You know, like I don't want people to say like, oh, they just want to make money. I'm like, what do you do? Like, do you not, like, does that not a factor in your life? You know, like, if not, cool, like good on
you.
Like, so of course they want to sell product, but they want to make good product, you know? And, you know, I think, and with that people, you know, oftentimes I'll hear like all the complaints about the price, like, oh, it's expensive. I'm like, you know, you have a Yeti, you know, like a mug in your hand. It was $50 for a coffee mug, you know,
oh
like,
my gosh.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, but it's nice. Exactly. You think it's nice. And for whatever reason that is, you paid a premium for it, you know, and, you know, and they probably, you know, drink out of their, you know, coolers and all that sort of stuff. And no different in the world, you know, from Reebok, from the footwear and apparel perspective. And I think that matters more, you know, and, I think that's the story that, you know, people should be more aware of. And I think Reebok is going to start to do it as a brand more. But it's also kind of like, I also see the other side of it where, like, you know, it's sometimes I'm like, well, do people actually care? Like what the designer's doing in, at their lunch break, you know, like, I always like wonder, it's like, you know, like, is it like too much like, oh, look at us, we're doing what we, you know, what we sell and say. So I get the balance, and
sure,
because you never want to be like all about me. You want to be give it sure. to more about them and, you know, the others. So
totally. But I think it is important, and it makes you appreciate, like you said, the authenticity of it and knowing how much thought and how much kind of expertise goes into
right.
every single item. So I think there's a lot to be said about that.
Oh yeah.
So shifting gears a little bit, mm-hmm. Tell me about Austin Maliolo pre-CrossFit.
Oh gosh.
What were you like?
So Austin Maliolo pre-CrossFit, it's I don't want to bore or take, you know, guys, I don't know how much time do we have, right? But so essentially, you know, most people that know me from the CrossFit world.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's my life now. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about my life story, you know, most people are like, no, like
that's
not possible that I was a delinquent degenerate that was in a lot of trouble, as much trouble as you can imagine, getting shipped all around the country to different, you know, programs to try to get straightened out. But I mean, that's essentially was it. Now it wasn't like all just doom and gloom. It wasn't, you know, just, you know, there's this dark cloud of my entire life. But, I mean, essentially growing up, you know, lived a normal childhood, whatever the heck that means, right?
Sure.
Normal. And just got into like a lot of trouble in like the mid-teens of my life. And,
okay.
You know, if I were to say, what was I like? I was like just any sort of punk kid that's trying to fit in with older kids and making poor decisions based off how other people perceived me.
Mm. So right? trying to be like,
kid, you know. So like, you know, and then you know, you always want to hang out with the older kids. They're drinking, they're doing drugs, they're hanging out, they're doing that stuff. Like, well, that's what you're gonna do, you know. And my one thing that has never really changed is my extreme personality. Right? It's like there's always
you're
like,
all in.
Yeah, I'm all in, which is a problem when you're all in on the wrong things, right? And it's, you know, life is so true that, you know, you have. Your character attributes are your character attributes. And I was channeling those for like, you know, not good. It's like, you know, and so long story short is, you know, I got arrested. I got sent down. I got sent to an outdoor program called Second Nature in Utah for 2 months.
Okay.
Then from there, I went down to a therapeutic boarding school. I was in Virginia for 2 years.
Okay.
Then I went.
What age was that?
So that was, I left there and I was like 18. So I was down there until I was 18. Then I went to college, you know, back on the straight and narrow, and then got kicked out of college. Mm. You know, so it's like, of course, like, you know, things are good. And then, you know, again, wrong people, wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was funny because when you look back at the pre-CrossFit, it's amazing on actually how CrossFit entered into my life. Where, you know, I'm kicked out of school. It was my junior year of college, in the first semester. So I go home. Mm-hmm. Probably the lowest moment of my whole life, where, you know, of course it was like during like end of October, beginning of November, where like the holidays are coming up and you have to tell everyone, you're like, oh, how's school? Good. I got kicked out.
Good,
you know,
I'm
like
not going back. Yeah.
You know, it's awful. And, you know, and
this is your junior year. So you only had 1 year left after that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You know, and I was going to school for exercise science. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of like labs and projects, it didn't make things easy. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what I ended up, you know, when I went home and I had a massive, I guess you could say, enlightening moment in my life. And it was essentially the concept of everything is your responsibility. Mm. Your decisions, your friendships, who you surround yourself with, your actions, your words, your reactions, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And I was... with them. And so that's why I got kicked out of school. I didn't do anything. I was just around something that went down. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you were there, so you're gone.
You're gone. Wow.
And at first I was like upset because I didn't do that. I didn't do anything. And I realized how easy it was to blame others for any scenario or for anything that happened to you. Mm-hmm. So easy. Mm-hmm. And at that moment I was like, well, it's my fault. Hmm. I'm in this situation. No one else is.
Yeah.
And
what do you think made that let go a lot for you?
You know, I think when, you know, you go through, go through everything I went through prior to that. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, honestly, a lot with my father, who always stuck by me. Like, mm-hmm. he was one that was always fighting for me, that sent me, like, I could have gone to jail when I was, 16. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you're going to go out to this, second nature, and you're going to go to this, go to that. And, I got into school, and then I get kicked out of school. And it was just a moment where I was like, I had to take responsibility, you were so low, mm-hmm. that two things happened. You decide to quit. Mm-hmm. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of kids I went to school with in Virginia that are no longer with us today because they got that low and they quit.
Wow.
And unfortunately, we probably all know someone in our life or have heard of someone in our life where that happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. You get so low because the other side of that is really hard, mm-hmm. where you have to look at yourself and admit that it's your fault, mm-hmm. and you need to take ownership of that, and that's not fun. Mm-mm. And you have to apologize. You need to take ownership for your everything in your life is your fault. It's no one else's fault. And in doing that, then you got to do something. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have to have this understanding of this ownership, but then you actually need to act, right? That's the other hard piece. You got to do something.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm going to do something here. So I went to community college at night to keep my health insurance. Cause when you're in school, you got to be a full-time student, mm-hmm. to keep your health insurance. And at least at the time I was working construction during the day, mm-hmm. going to school at night. And I had a personal trainer license and I was applying to jobs, and I ended up getting, a personal trainer job at a gym 40 minutes away. And mm-hmm. of course the only shift they need you from was like 4 a.m. to like, 8, the shift that no one wanted. So I was like, well, I'll take it. Going to school at night, training, personal training at this gym. And then I was working construction still. And this was my first gig I ever mm-hmm. had, like, job, really. And, personal training, no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I was certified,
doing what you're, what you wanted to do.
Yeah,
what
I was, studying for. Yeah. And that's actually where I found CrossFit, was in that gym.
Okay.
One of the senior trainers was like, you got to try this CrossFit thing out. And I was like, what's CrossFit? And he's like, they have this workout called Fran. And I was like, what is that? It's like, it's this movement. It's like a thruster and then a pull up. And I did it, I was like, sure, I'll do it. It's like 95 pounds, that's light. I was a meathead. Because I was a classic,
Were you like all upper body and like legs?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was actually, like, I would deadlift and squat. Like, I was,
okay.
For some reason, when I was training through college, mm-hmm. I was a pure meathead.
Okay.
And I would like deadlift and front squat and things like that where, most people didn't. So mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing. And I probably moved awfully, I know I did. But I had some capacity, mm-hmm. relatively speaking. And I did Fran, and I think I did in like 5 minutes. I'm sure none of the reps counted, But I mean, I threw up into a garbage can, and I was like, and it was just like in the moment of where I was in my training and my life, I was like, it was like, I love this.
Yeah.
And
this was when? What year?
This was 2009.
Okay.
And then of course the all in, Malleola was like, well, then literally that night I printed every CrossFit Journal article that they had at the time, and you could do that at the time. You can't do that now.
It would be a little hard.
I printed them all. I was like, oh, this, they have a level one course. I was like, oh shit, it's $1,000. I had a one credit card with a $500 limit.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I got to get another credit card. So I got another credit card with $500 limit. So then I was like, all right, $500 down. I got my other credit card. Uh-huh. I was able to pay for the other one. I was like, what's this? I was like, what's a clean and jerk and a snatch? They have an Olympic lifting seminar. Man, that's another $500. All right. I'll pay off that credit card. And I paid for my Olympic lifting seminar.
Wow.
I bought Every Second Counts, which was the movie. They were selling like old programs from the old games. I was like, I'll buy those. Cause they had all the athletes, mm-hmm. their stats. Mm-hmm. So what I did, again, crazy me, I went through and highlighted the best.
No way.
Times
I did the same
of every athlete.
Thing.
So then I just knew, I was like, well, if there was the best of everyone,
yep.
this would be it. I was like, I have to beat that.
Yes. I did the same thing. The 2009, they had them all posted online. It was like the average time for each benchmark and then the best time.
Yeah.
And I posted it up on my wall. I started the same 2009 June posted it up on my wall, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to get these numbers. But like slowly as the year went by, you'd start ticking them off.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So I did that, and then somehow like in less than a year's training, I went to, you know, I went to the games in 2010.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so then I actually went back to college to finish my, cause I had to go back to the school I went to to finish my degree of exercise science, but I lived in Syracuse.
Okay.
Cause part of that was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to keep myself out of any equation. That's not what I want to be in. Went to school twice a week, you know, full schedule on Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay.
And I started coaching at a CrossFit gym and personal training as well.
Wow.
On the other days and training for the games.
That's amazing.
So, and then sort of that's kind of where we kind of
picked up. Wow.
But that was sort of the life before CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different, you know, where, so when people kind of look at me now, like, oh, like, you know, I partied 8 nights a week in college, and I did anything and everything that you don't want to imagine. And, you know, I think for me, you know, one of my big sort of pushes are to, you know, how do I reach people and kids, and like that was me. And I'm actually in the process of writing a book with a writer, and that's the whole thing of how do we, you know, relay that message.
Yeah.
And also to parents too, like, cause I wouldn't have made it without my dad. I truly believe everyone needs someone in their life that believes in them more than you believe in yourself at some point. Because again, you know, someone that doesn't have that person in their life and it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, and cause I can't imagine the level of just unconditional love that you have to have for someone when they're continually like doing everything in their power to push you away. It's just crazy. And that was me, you know, and I look at my dad every time I call my dad every day, like we're best friends, and I'll just call him up. I'm like, I'm like, how do you do it? Like still, you know, like it's just crazy. And it's, so that's one of my big, you know, passions is sort of, it's okay to fail, you know? And I think that you see a lot of people kind of go through their life and they're just kind of mediocre too. And they never really take a risk. And I don't think you need to go to jail. I don't think you need to be a complete idiot, but like you got to take a risk and you know, you're going to fail, you know? And I think people had the cliche of failure makes you better. No, it doesn't. Like crashing your car doesn't make you a better driver. It's not going to make you better, but it's inevitable. And you have to learn in the journey to and the journey from, and it's, that's how we grow, you know? And I think that's, so many people are afraid of that.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's, so that's a big sort of, and that's, for me, it was just a lot of failure. And everyone's different, you know, like I'm an idiot. I'm thick headed. So it took me a lot of, you know, moments in order to have that moment of clarity of like, all right, this is my fault.
Sure.
And take that responsibility.
What would you say to someone who is in that position where like to help them get to that moment, or someone who's in that like rock bottom position that just doesn't know if they can, you know, make the right choice?
You know, I think about that question a lot, you know, and I think about where I was, you know, and you have to be so raw that you're able to hear things. And there's, you know, cause every moment before that I knew, like I had it figured out, you know, and you have to be in that moment where there really is, you can't go anywhere. And in that moment, you have to realize that you need to take ownership and you need to act. You need to do something. And it doesn't matter what you do, just do something and start walking in the right direction and expect nothing. You know, I think that's so important where no one owes you anything. And no one's watching you. No one cares about you. Just do something and do it because that's your responsibility. And I think that's like, because that's all it is. For me, it was, all right, you know what? I'm going to go back to work construction. I'm going to go to school at night because I got to keep my health. I'm going to do this. And honestly, I was alone a lot in that year. I mean, I was with my girlfriend, my now wife at the time. She was finishing up school, right? And I was living at home, and you know, it's, you have to be with yourself and you need to be okay. I think the biggest thing I see and what I saw for myself is that people and myself make so many decisions based off others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think college is a good example of that. And everyone, everyone can remember, like, you had your group of friends.
Yeah.
How many times did you do something that you did not want to do, but all your friends were doing it, and you didn't want to be the, like, oh, like, I got to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point, you made that decision. If you're, you know, so whoever is successful in life makes a decision to be selfish,
mm-hmm.
and to do whatever you want to do in that moment. And I think you need to have that sort of that peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember just driving to community college. I would just listen to like the Yankees on the radio or something like mm-hmm. that. And I just, I'll never forget, like, it was, and I would just be eating in my car, you know, and no one else was there. Like, and it wasn't like, I think a lot of people expect like accolades for going to school and, you know, like doing that. Like, I was working construction, plowing at night, shoveling in the winter. Like, it's just doing what I do.
Daily grind.
And I think that's what I try to impress upon that person is that this is your time you need to take responsibility and do this. And no one mm-hmm. is going to be there for you. No one's going to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to act, because you're here because of you, mm-hmm. and there's only one person to get you out of there.
Yeah.
And finding the clarity as life goes on to look back and because in the moment you'll never realize who is that person, your rock. You just won't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's like, oh, you need to learn to respect this. Like, it's never going to happen because you're blinded by your ignorance. And as I always say that my biggest fear of, you know, being a dad. Mm-hmm. is to be half as good as a father as my dad was to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you don't realize that when you're a kid, you don't realize what they're doing, you know? And I think that comes and you find that person and you keep them close, you know? And it doesn't have to be it can be anyone in your life, you mm-hmm. know, that mentor, that person that believed in you, you know? And I think that's, and that's another hard one. 'Cause you got to like essentially admit that you were a piece of garbage to them for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And that's not fun to like tell someone, be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So true. It's so interesting too. 'Cause I think what you say, it applies in so many different ways, but like we were talking about earlier with lifestyle decisions and having those sometimes saying like, okay, everyone else in the office is drinking soda, but I'm going to take responsibility for my own decisions and I'm going to pack my own lunch or I'm going to go work out during my lunch break. Which so many times people just keep making these bad decisions because it's easy, because it's what everyone else is doing.
Right.
Even though they don't want to.
Right. You know, and I think I that's something I struggle with is that empathy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think I've swung to this point where like, because everyone's like, oh, like, it's like, how do you like eating well or like, I'm like, for me, it's not hard anymore. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
And I don't drink, you know, and like,
it's just normal.
And it's just so, and people are like, what is it hard when you go out and your friends are drinking? I'm like, no. 'Cause they're like, say, do you want to drink? I'm like, no.
The decision's already made. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I tell people that, I say it with such sort of authority, and it's not like authority, but just like, that's what it's like. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and where I do understand and respect the difficulty it is for people to be in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the gap that we need to bridge for those that are struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a social thing.
Totally.
You know, and I know if there's like an area of improvement for me, it's understanding that, 'cause I don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly from a nutritional perspective, from a discipline, from a self-healthcare perspective,
mm-hmm.
for me, it's like, it's easy.
Yeah.
And for most, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that the relatability for people is really important. And I do think that's where, like, you know, certainly whether it's at your gym, whether it's in the hospital, like having different people that have had different struggles is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that I don't think I will ever connect with, that you may never connect with based mm-hmm. off who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You just need to surround yourself with people that have different backgrounds, different experiences that can touch different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's something that I've learned. I think I was in the beginning of my coaching career. You go through this time, you have this bravado and
you
think
you want to help everyone.
And you're like, I can do it. I have the answers, you know, like variance, functionality, intensity, meats and vegetables, mm-hmm. nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar. Like you, it's like, I got it.
It's easy.
And then you realize that none of that really matters if you can't communicate it.
So true.
And if that person doesn't want to receive it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's for me where like now in having a couple gyms and a big staff, it's, I'm nothing without the team around me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they are more important than anything else because they're the ones that have that mathematical ability to reach more people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's something that as we grow, it's, we realize that it's not about you, it's about everyone around you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's something that I think we all see with people that are in positions of influence, realize that it's not about them. It's about the other people around them that
so true.
Can influence more people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I love the
you
level
do
ones
anything by yourself.
And the
yeah.
level twos. Cause you know, you see 50 people come to a level one
mm-hmm.
and you realize that you can make a positive impact on 50 people. And those 50 people can affect five people mm-hmm. a piece. And that's a
huge impact,
And that's why, you know, that's why CrossFit works. That's why it grows mm-hmm. because it's a positive impact and it's a pretty simple math expression.
That's so true. So what is your day-to-day like now? Do you have can you give us like a typical day in the life of Austin?
Oh, yeah. So the day in the life of Austin, it's since kind of changed a little bit since we moved to the Seaport, but okay. I think I'm settling into our new routine.
Okay.
It's pretty early. Most days I wake up pretty early, around like 4:30
mm-hmm.
Is the traditional day. So 4:30, you know, I always say that, you know, the day starts the night before. I'm the nerd that puts out my outfit the night before.
Yep.
My bag is packed. You know, mm-hmm. everything that happens the night before. So I get up and, you know, get ready. I'm a fan of coffee. So I you know, every morning it's either, you know, certainly if I'm going real early like that, I'll just do like a single cup pour over.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the process. I recently got one of those Alexas.
Nice.
And I like it because I'll say like good morning and it tells me like all the news and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
I actually really like it because I can be somewhat educated on current events
mm-hmm.
where I was not able to keep up. Mm-hmm. So I'll like listen to that while I make my coffee, have a little breakfast and then I'll hit the road. I'll get to the gym usually by like 5:45
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of a drive. I do audiobooks on the way in.
Okay.
So,
any good ones you've listened to lately?
So I just finished, I think it was called Naked Money.
Hmm.
It's just about, essentially about currency and money.
Hmm.
I try to go through like different topics.
Okay.
So I'll do like a business book, which mm-hmm. I just finished up with. And then I'll do like a leadership or mm-hmm. a mentoring type of book. I'll try to do some sort of fitness,
mm-hmm.
health type of book. And then I'll try to do a challenge. I call it like a challenger. And I think the last one I did was The Language of God.
Yes. Oh, I love that book.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite books.
And I'm not religious mm-hmm. at all. And so I read that and it was a lot. It was a lot to take
it's
in.
A lot, yeah.
So I try to kind of mix it up.
That's so cool. So you pick a book that isn't something that you necessarily would want to read, but you
right.
kind of force yourself to branch out into a new.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's interesting, you know, and who would have thought, like, you know, it makes you think.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, we tell people to challenge themselves all the time in the world of fitness,
yeah.
so I try to do it intellectually, but I don't know if it works, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so the currency one was, it was good. I mean, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those where, like, I just kept, like, going, like, go back 15
go back,
seconds.
Yeah.
I don't think I retain as much as, reading, but
sure.
I don't have time to read, so.
More than you would.
Yeah. So I figure if I can at least get some, you know, content in there, it's mm-hmm. fun. Makes the drives a little more bearable.
Totally.
So I get into the gym and then I normally do about like get there about 5:45 and then we have a 6:45 a.m. class. So at the gym, I usually work until then.
Mm-hmm.
That first hour of the day is my most productive.
Mm-hmm.
So have some coffee. I'm, you know, just getting ahead on the day,
mm-hmm.
answering emails. And then I'll usually jump into the first class of the day.
Okay.
I love it. If I'm not coaching it, I'll jump in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the class with the peeps. It's my favorite. I love taking class. I take every class every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if I'm feeling good, I get most of my training done there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm warmed up. I'm feeling
yep.
good. Get a workout.
Do it.
So I usually just try to hit most, you know, if not three quarters of my session in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm done by 8:30.
And now, are you still training with your team? Do you have specific programming that you're doing? Or
yeah, so I mean, the now that will, you know, change a little bit.
Yeah, as the season's just
starting now. So we'll have to, as a team, start training a little more. But we all follow the hand plan programming with Spencer and I program. So the affiliate follows it, and then, you know, the whole team follows it. So the main workout of the day we all do no matter what. So we always kind of track on that sort of stuff together. As through the open, we don't really have to train together as much. It's really like after the open, before regionals, when we start really cranking on the team workouts.
Totally.
But that does lengthen the days out.
Absolutely. It's a lot to coordinate.
Yeah, that's the hardest part of the team. Be a little easier this year with four instead of six, but still the schedules, you know, I mean, you know how it
it's
is.
It's tough.
Yeah. And then from there, really just like, it's a whirlwind of a day. You know, I'm usually cranking, you know, with whether meetings or work in the morning, then pretty much come 11 o'clock, 11, 12, 1, 2, we have a lot of classes. That's when the majority of our CrossFit classes are. Gym's really busy.
Okay.
We'll have, you know, probably 200, 300 people within that, you know, three-hour window.
Which is more than most gyms have in their total membership.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, and then everything happens in that time. You know? So you're running around, and then... And then from there, like, we have a little bit of a lull. And that's usually where I like sit down, you know, catch up on the emails from, you know, just being on your feet for the whole midday. If I have to hit another session, I'll usually do it right around like four. And then depends on the day. If I'm there super early, I try to get out of there by like four, which is hard sometimes, you know.
Sure.
Sometimes
that doesn't
happen.
There's always something going on.
Yeah. And then, you know, get home. And then, you know, and now that the commute's much longer, I'm home a lot less. So I try to like be a little more present. That's sort of my goal, which is not easy to do. But come home and I got my little dog, Ben, and, you know, spend time with my wife, Maren, just, you know, hanging out just a little bit. And then I usually kind of get, you know, crack open the computer again, you know, after I kind of settle down for an hour or so, and then just kind of work a little bit and just hang out with Maren, watch some sort of, you know, TV or movie or something while I'm working. And, you know, it's, and I try to eat within there. I usually forget, you know, food is, it's funny. I was talking to someone and I was talking to Rich about it today. Like I forget to eat all the time.
Yeah. I feel like for some reason you guys are so much, you can go so much longer without eating. Like
I agree.
We've talked about this before, but we like, once we start getting hungry, the girls are always like going to be eating some sort of meal during the day.
I've noticed that too. Like our women eat more than the men.
I think we do.
I mean, like I mean, there are times where I'll go like 10 hours without eating. I'm like, oh, forgot to eat.
I know. My husband does the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't get it.
I don't know, I mean, I am a believer in a caloric deficit. I'm actually not as sold on the importance of like macro timing. I just, from what I see, like from what I, when I hang out with other athletes that are really good, you know, and obviously it's important, but I don't think it's, I think that a caloric deficit, if you're in it, it's a pretty good place to be. You can, I think it's hard to get there. I really do. I think it's painful to get to.
Yeah.
But if you're really busy, it's not, you know, like, and for, you know, high end athletes, they're working out all the time.
Right.
You don't want to eat when you're working out. I mean, think about competition is a good example.
Yeah. It's hard to get an actual meal in.
Right. You know, so that's kind of what my days kind of turn into, just with all the other stuff. So
totally.
But my wife says I look skinny sometimes, so it stresses me out. So then I start eating.
Yeah.
She'll give me like a gluten-free bagel with butter on it. I'm like, are you trying to tell me something here? Or like two of them. I'm like, my gosh, that's, I can't eat all of this.
But that's funny. I've told my husband that once or twice and he does not take it well. He just starts eating everything.
It stresses me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a, it's a good way to get, you know, men to eat, is call them skinny.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
But yeah, that's a normal day. It's and then, you know, and that's during the week. And I work almost every weekend for the seminar still. So come Friday, hop on a plane or somewhere and work and fly back, and, you know, keeps us busy.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I mean, I think, I don't know what the saying is that James always says about you, James Hobart, but he always says something about like, if Austin ever stops moving, he'll die or something.
Well, yeah, that's for
along
certain.
Along those lines. But why, what motivates you to be so, I mean, you could easily even take out one of those things, like not, you know, just training, but not necessarily competing, or, you know, running the affiliate, but not coaching as much, or not doing the seminars. But why are all those things so important to you, to be keeping up that pace?
You know, it's, I think part of it, it's just like, it's who I am. And I think a big piece of for outside looking in, it's easy to look at all of those things mm-hmm. from, you know, running Reebok and, you know, having a handful of other gyms in the Boston area and, mm-hmm. you know, seminar staff and hand plan programming and things like that. But it's been gradual, you know, and I didn't just start working 40 weekends a year.
Right.
You know, I do that now, but when I started, it was like, you know, once in a while and mm-hmm. just slowly built up. Mm-hmm. And I really do love it. And I love what I do. It's, I have a hobby dubbed a job. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I'm in the Bahamas right now as part of work, essentially, right?
It's pretty amazing.
You know, so there's a lot of value to that. And I also understand that at some point I'm probably going to have to slow down mm-hmm. When I have a family, when we mm-hmm. have kids, you know, I'm going to want to be around them. And, you know, what motivates me is like, you know, I'm the caretaker, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to be able to do everything and anything I can. Cause one, I love it, mm-hmm. but two, I understand that if I love it now, it's good, but you know, life will change and different sacrifices will have to happen. Mm-hmm. So I should do that stuff now.
No, well, you can.
And, you know, and again, that whole responsibility piece, I always feel like, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's, I love, you know, like competing. Like you know, that's probably more of an ignorant thing where like, I don't know how not to train to compete.
It's a really good point. I was talking to someone about this today, that it wasn't until I stopped competing that I even realized like how much stress or pressure or like just how much it influences your day because it's constantly in the back of your mind.
Right.
I didn't think that it was, cause it was just normal. That's what you do
right.
year after year. And so you just, it's just normal. You don't
right.
think about, you know, how much stress that puts on you.
Oh yeah. And that's where like, I mean, I found CrossFit and I was competing in under a year. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just like, that is part of who I am. And,
yeah.
you know, I think that there's with any, you know, with any positive, there's always a negative, right? As part of my identity, our identity as athletes, it's like, well, when you stop competing, what happens? Mm-hmm. You know, there's, I mean, I don't care what anyone says. That's a huge
part
piece.
Of you. Yeah.
You know, and then also it's like that ego piece of like,
sure.
you know, I'm still viable. I can still do this damn thing.
You can still keep up with everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then also it's fun, mm-hmm. You know, and I love working out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know some competitors that don't like working out. Mm-hmm. I like to work out,
yeah.
you know, so I think that's another thing where I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I'll train with my buddies and they're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, let's work out. They're like, no, I don't want to work out. Like, I want to work out. It's what I want to do. So I think that's part of the thing. And you know, and with CrossFit, it's just so fun to coach. I love the business aspect of CrossFit now that with three different gyms in the mm-hmm. area and you know, it's a fun game. Mm-hmm. And you know, and part of it is I this responsibility piece where like, I think that there's a lot of opportunity to help other people. Mm-hmm. People change their lives. They start their businesses. They change career paths for this sort of stuff. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity to help others mm-hmm. and to set the example. And I think you need to lead from the front. You got to, you know, if I want to give people advice about coaching or running a gym or working out, then I need to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I could never take advice from someone to run an affiliate if they don't have a gym.
Yeah.
You know, because people do that. They're out there. They're like, oh,
that's
like
true.
I'm an affiliate consultant. But you don't run your affiliate. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, so like for me, it's like I feel like you got to lead from the front from a lot of those perspectives. Level one,
Absolutely.
Level two.
Taking your own classes at your gym.
That's right. You like it's, I think it's really simple things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy not to. But I think that's, and so that's a big piece for me. It's like, you know, I got to, you know, I'm. You got to sweep the sheds.
Yeah.
You have to do the work. You're not above anything, you know, mm-hmm. and that's important. You got to dig your holes. You don't need someone else to do it for you. You do it yourself. You learn something along the way and you gain the respect of the people around you. And that's important. If you're going to ask them to do
yeah.
something, you should be the first there, you know, first person there with them.
Absolutely. On that note, I want to ask about like the one best advice that you would give to a few different people, because you can relate to so many of these people. So the first one would be to an aspiring affiliate owner.
So to an aspiring affiliate owner, I think the biggest piece of advice is, I know you have passion. Mm-hmm. I know you love CrossFit. You need to learn how to run a business. Passion and excitement is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. It was 10 years ago. But there are legitimate businesses out there being run, and you need to be able to know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Ask for help. Employ other people to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But you can, and here's the thing, you can start and it be successful in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to create a sustainable business, I mean, most small businesses don't last more than, I think, 3 years. And past 5 years, I think like 90% of them fail.
Wow.
Like, it's like the stats are out of control.
Yeah.
And so how do you get past those huge thresholds? And I think you just need to understand that it's a business when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other things that come into play that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And do your research. It's like you just can't find a building and open up a gym. You have a lot more to do than that. So I think that's the biggest thing. And you're not going to become a millionaire opening up an affiliate, you know, in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. You'll live a good life. You'll enjoy it. You'll be able to do what you need to do. But you need to ask yourself this question. Where do I want to be in 10 years? If you don't want to be coaching full time, mm-hmm. how do you plan on doing that? And I just don't, you know, I think that that's always a fear of mine. And so, you know, on that piece of advice is create a business plan. Mm-hmm. Like create a 10-year, 15-year business plan. And that will give you some direction of mm-hmm. maybe where you need some help.
Yeah.
Or maybe if it's, you know, is it for you?
That's true. I think so many people see other affiliates and they think, oh, it seems really easy. You know, this is just what you have to do. And they don't think through all those steps beforehand and then realize, wow, this is a lot more. I bit off a lot more than I realized.
Right.
So true to think about it all ahead of time.
Yeah. And it's because sometimes you see what you don't want to see
sure.
on paper. And that's, sure. you know, and that's part of life.
Good advice for just about anything.
Yeah.
True. Think about it beforehand.
Yeah. Think about it beforehand and have a plan.
Yeah. How about to an aspiring competitor?
So the aspiring competitor, I think it's different than it was when we started.
Yeah.
Be prepared for the long game. Mm-hmm. Your career at the high level, if you make it, won't be long. Master the fundamentals. Move well. Mm-hmm. And slowly increase volume. We all did that in mm-hmm. our generation, not on purpose, just indirectly.
Yeah.
That's what everyone forgets. Mm-hmm. We didn't start out working out like maniacs like we have to now. Mm-hmm. You slowly built on that from the demand as it increased.
So true.
And, you know, you got to do the unsexy stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to learn, like I was like, literally, everyone go to your level one because learn how to move well. Learn yeah. how to keep your heels down, drive your knees out, lift your chest up. If you want to compete in the world of CrossFit, educate yourself on CrossFit. Like, that's the first thing I did. I was like, I want to compete. I'm going to go to my level one so mm-hmm. I can learn because they're the ones that are doing the competition.
Mm-hmm. Read every CrossFit journal article.
Literally. I mean, like, I've seen competitors that had never picked up a D-ball before and, like, they've been doing CrossFit for 2 years or, mm-hmm. like, they've never done certain movements. I'm like, do you read? You know, like they're blown away that dumbbells are a part of CrossFit.
Like, what have you been doing?
The first CrossFit workout ever done, yeah. fast and heavy, dumbbell thrusters and running. You know, like, so I think, like, know your history, mm-hmm. move well, slowly increase that volume, and understand that it's a low trajectory to a distant horizon that you may never get to. Mm-hmm. And that's like any sport now. Mm-hmm. You know?
You have to enjoy it. You have to love it.
You have to love it. And don't be so naive to think that you're going to go to the CrossFit Games in a year. Mm-hmm. No one says they're going to go to the NBA in a year, NFL and NHL, and CrossFit's getting there, you know? Yeah. So it's
become a great point.
Yeah, it's kind of show that respect.
Great point. How about to someone who's just starting out with their coaching career?
From the novice, the young coach, I think the best piece of advice that I think you could give someone that I would have given myself is, again, master the fundamentals, mm-hmm. know what you don't know, limit your scope. Teach, again, I go back to level one. It's part of who I am. It's in mm-hmm. my DNA. Know those nine fundamental movements. Mm-hmm. Memorize them, understand them, teach them well, practice. Literally, go in front of a mirror and demonstrate movements. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a professional in our field of coaching, you need to practice, study, get feedback. Mm-hmm. Limit the scope. Don't coach huge classes. Coach small classes. Coach one-on-one. Stick to some basic movements. And know what you don't know. It's okay for you to have something come in front of you and you not know it. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You know, and I think if you live by those fundamentals, which, by the way, are Glassman's, you know, Glassman said that. It's in his article, and I love it because it's, I mean, you could say that about anything and it'd be really good advice.
Yeah.
And again, just, I see this trend happening in the world of from competition to coaching is don't forget your roots. Mm-hmm. Learn from CrossFit. Stay there. Mm-hmm. Learn. There's walls outside of the world of CrossFit. Love that. And challenge yourself and learn different things. But remember the basics. Mm-hmm. And most people don't need more than that.
Virtuosity.
That's it. Do the common uncommonly well. And that's a life's work. So start there. And it's okay to have your note card next to you. It's okay to write things down. Everyone does it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be a good coach day one. Probably not on day two either.
Yeah.
That's all right. But if you care about people, you'll be fine. You know their name, know what they do for a living, call them, email them, text them. That's why CrossFit works. That's mm-hmm. why good coaches are good coaches, because they care about people. And so if you have that, then allow it to be a slow process.
I love it. Last one is that person that we were talking about earlier who is maybe just peeking into the gym and thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is for me.
I think for that person that is afraid to take that first step into the gym, this always comes across the wrong way, but I truly mean it, you know, in the positive way of that. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, because no one in the gym mm-hmm. is worried about you.
Yes.
And everyone felt like you or feels like you. No different than when if you were to take that theoretical step in the gym, what mm-hmm. would you be concerned about? Everything.
Oh yeah.
That's what everyone else is concerned about. So they don't have the scope to worry about this person.
That's new person.
Yeah. And trust that you're not going to be great mm-hmm. and you're not going to get exactly what you want out of it. It's going to be difficult, but the fact that you actually make that step is that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. And it's the act of actually wanting to do something more than what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's, if I can impress upon that and that person, just walk in there, you know, sneak in there, whatever it may be, understand that if you want to be left alone, you'll be left alone. Just moving in the right direction and mm-hmm. positive movement where, mm-hmm. You don't need to be running. You don't need to be sprinting. You can just be walking,
yeah,
crawling, but you're doing something good. You know, and it's truly not about you, which is, I think that's the hard piece. Everyone think, oh, it's all about me. No, it's about this greater purpose.
So true. And I was talking to Kelly Jackson here yesterday. Everyone's intimidated the first time. I mean, not everyone, but a lot of people are intimidated the first time they walk in. She said she was a collegiate athlete. She played soccer. And the first time she went into a CrossFit gym, she was super intimidated. Yeah. She did one workout, didn't feel like it was right for her. It took her a year to go back. Mm-hmm. And then when she finally went back is when she really fell in love with it.
Right.
So everyone has some level of intimidation when they're trying something new. It's unfamiliar. It's uncomfortable. And to also know that if you have a first experience that doesn't sit well with you, it's okay. You can try again. Every affiliate is different. Every coach is different. That's the beautiful thing about CrossFit is you can find your place yeah. where you feel like you're comfortable.
Yeah. We had recently someone that just came to Reebok and they said, I tried CrossFit and I got injured. I had a bad experience. Hmm. You know, and that's hard to hear because it's like, when you hear that, it's like, all I want to say is like, all I want to really say is, well, that won't happen here, I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. But I also have to respect the fact that, like, you have a bad experience, you have a bad experience.
Yeah.
You know, but what I always, I equate that to is like, you know, I played sports growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had years where I hated playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Some years I loved it. What was the difference? The coach. Mm. Hockey's not a bad sport. Hockey didn't hurt me or make me unhappy.
Yeah.
It was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that, and that's how I try to explain it to that person. It's like, yep, it's, and that's part of the deal, and that's going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no different than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the how do we disseminate the information? What's the vehicle in which that's happening? Is it matters more than the actual piece?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hey, if you walk into a gym and you're nervous, and someone comes up to you and says, "Hi, what's your name?" People introduce themselves to you, and then they make sure that you're taken care of. You're in the right place.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, go to another gym. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. You know, are their bathrooms clean? Right. If they are, you might be in a good spot. You know.
Yeah.
If not, go somewhere
else.
Little
things.
That's
right.
That's
true. Very true. All right. I want to finish with three questions that I ask everyone on the podcast.
Okay.
So, first one is three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Three things that I do on a regular basis that have a positive impact on my health. I think the big one is CrossFit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my consistency in that. I think a second one is my nutritional regimen. I'm fairly strict.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about as boring as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And by that, do you mean like, are you doing the zone? Are you just eating quality foods? What is your approach?
I'm pretty true to our prescription with CrossFit is meats and vegetables, mm-hmm. nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. And you know, I zoned for 5 years. I don't weigh and measure every single thing now, but from a quantity perspective, probably very close. Mm-hmm. I weigh and measure once in a while to mm-hmm. see where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
And it's pretty consistent. So. You know, we're pretty close to keeping the intake levels to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a third perspective, I think what's important for me, it's being positive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find much need or room to be negative. I really like I don't get it. You know, so for me, it's like, I generally love every part of my day and what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably my favorite aspect of anything. It's like, what's like, man, this is great. Like, you know, it's like, it's so easy to just fall. It's like, oh, I'm up earlier, blah, blah, blah. But like, this is awesome. I'm going in a coach, mm-hmm. listen to a good book right now. I'm going to get to watch the sunrise over the water in Boston. Like, it's cool. Like, so I think that's important for me is like, I try to be positive all the time.
I love that. Next one is one thing that you're working on, something that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you struggle with it.
I think for me specifically, certainly now with this sort of a new transition is this ominous word of balance, which I definitely don't have. But
speaking of which, what does Austin do to relax? Do you do anything to relax or like,
well, that's probably why this is the area, of improvement.
Okay.
Cause I, you know, like. No, I don't do much. And like James alluded to, as you said, you know, it's like if he stops, you know, he's dead or just falls asleep, right? No, you know, I think for me, it's, you know, spending more quality of time with my wife. I think mm-hmm. it's something I really, you know, it's, and it's really simple. It's like, hey, put the phone away, put the electronics down and just sit down and be present.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm working on and not good at. But
I mean, it's a struggle for everyone now.
Yeah.
There's just always stimulation everywhere we go.
Yeah. And that's something for me. It's, and certainly you'll sort of like, you know, now that I'm 30 and, you know, kids are on the horizon at some point where it's, I think that's something that's really important for me to my wife's unbelievable and probably too understanding. I think sometimes where like most people look at Mare and my wife and just like, how do you deal with this guy? You know? And like, you know, so I think that's, and for me, that's a big focus because obviously, you know, down the line when kids come, like kids don't have that perspective. You're there or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care where you are.
Yeah.
They don't care that you're
what
at work
you're
or you're working out.
All the other people that you're helping. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, where's dad?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's something that for me is that's the big focus. That's in the crosshairs.
I love it. Last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
I think a healthy life is one that's positive, not only for yourself, but those around you, where you aren't in some way, shape, or form enhancing your quality of life and others around you in your ecosystem, if not broader, on a daily basis. Because if everyone did that, I think that really cool things would happen. And it would be a more positive experience day in and day out.
So true. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Austin. Awesome. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. This one definitely ranks near the top of all of my favorite episodes because of Austin's incredible insight and the perspective he's gained from playing so many roles in the CrossFit community. I hope that we see more CrossFit affiliates in the corporate world, making employees healthier and companies stronger, just like Austin has talked about at Reebok. I want to know, what ideas do you have for corporate wellness? Let me know on social media using hashtag pursuinghealth. Also, a quick reminder, if you haven't yet checked it out, make sure you head to healthyselfreset.com if you're interested in dialing in your nutrition with me this January. We are providing a 100% free program with 28 days of recipes, meal plans, shopping lists, and workouts you can do anywhere with no equipment. The reset starts January 15th, so head to healthyselfreset.com right now to get signed up. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWAD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWAD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WAD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JulieFoucher. Just visit www.mobilitywod.com. Full potential, full power.